Thank you again for the worship. Really enjoyed it. Before I start, I'd like to recommend a book I've been reading for several months by a guy called Joshua Jones. And it's an amazing book for these times. It's called Elijah Men Eat Meat. So I thought it's particularly apt for Chris, as he likes his meat. But if you like meat, the meat of the word, then this is for you. I'd like to give it away, and I'm going to give it to Jeremy, because it's, in fact, it was his birthday present, but it's the first time I've had a chance to give it to him. he was 60 about 6 weeks ago. So, okay. So, this is part two of the talk, actually. Shine did part one of the talk. There may be a part three from somebody. When Shine spoke a message on freedom, it really touched me. It was several months ago. And I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to investigate more. Because I only like to preach that which I've eaten myself and tasted myself. And so Shine, I listened again to her talk. And we can all listen to the talks. It's really easy. On the website, you go into the Riverside Church. I really want to thank Jane and other people who do that. It's amazing. And so I was able to listen to Shine's talk whilst I was doing the ironing. I get much revelation and healing whilst I'm ironing, because you can do other things whilst you're ironing. My ironing may not be too good. But anyway. And so Shine told us a little bit about freedom. And she said, freedom, the talk was called Break Free and Stay Free. But the truth sets us free. She said, freedom equals transformation. And freedom comes from Jesus. And true freedom is only found in him. And then she gave a prophetic word. And I'm so glad I listened to her talk again, because this prophetic word is really amazing. And I believe God wants more freedom for us, so that when Dave and Karen come back and they've got this program lined up for us, we can actually be free enough to be able to enter into it. You cannot go into a battle unless you're trained. You cannot do the things of the Spirit unless you're free. Bound up Christians cannot enter in fully into the kingdom of God. It's impossible. And so we're all on a journey of freedom. And so this is just the bullet points. I have called Riverside to freedom. Do not stay in Egypt. Move forward, says the Lord. Move forward, says the Lord. I've called Riverside to freedom. And then she said, dry bones can live again. I know I can get pretty dry if I'm not close to the Lord. And so, yeah, so that was her prophetic word. A short one, a simple one, but profound. And so she spoke about freedom. I want to speak about how to get free. I don't know if any of you saw the film Gulliver or know the book Gulliver Travels. Anybody? Anybody can wave their hand here, yes? We're in a hand-raising church. It's okay to raise your hand. So there's the posters, and the guy was tied down with lots of cords. So when we become a Christian, what we were singing in those songs is totally true. We move from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. Jesus sets us free. We're totally free. In the spiritual realms, we're totally free. God sees us in Christ. We're dead. We're no longer alive. And we're going to get baptized, which demonstrates that. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He takes possession of us. The enemy is kicked out. However, we don't exhibit that freedom totally straight away. So when I got saved, I knew very little about the kingdom of God. All I knew was there was this guy, Jesus. I'd heard about being born again. I knelt down with the pastor, gave my life to Jesus, repented of things called sins, which I didn't really know what they were, to be honest. I found out later that most of my life was full of it. But I felt something. I felt something lift off me. And that was the oppression I'd lived under from the enemy. And in fact, I saw a photograph of myself at my mum's wedding. She got married a second time. My dad died. And I was about 18 or 19. And I thought, golly, Mick, you were such a frightened, terrified individual in those days. And I lived under that oppression. And all those strings of Gulliver were over me. But I didn't know it. I had no clue. But once I came into the kingdom and the Holy Spirit was living in me, suddenly there was warfare, because I was over here still in my actions and in my words and the way I thought. The Bible wasn't in me. The Word of God wasn't in me because I hadn't read it. And so I spent the next 2 years reading it like no one's business. And so slowly I've come out of a kingdom of dominion of darkness more and more into God's kingdom. And this is where freedom is. This is where freedom is. And I was asking the Lord, so that's the journey we all undertake. And some of us get there quicker than others. But it's really difficult to resist the Holy Spirit in the end if you're a true Christian. Have any of you experienced the warfare that goes on inside of you, which is mentioned in Romans, when we want to do something out of our flesh or something which is not in accordance with God's word, his kingdom? Do you notice your conscience jumps up and starts shouting at you? Anybody notice that? Yeah. Did it happen to me before I was a Christian? No. And that is one of the marks of a Christian. And we can encourage ourselves. But the Holy Spirit does not want us to walk in the ways of darkness, but to walk in the kingdom of God's ways. So there we are. We're in God's kingdom. We're tied down a bit by these strings. And sometimes we think there's only one. People have come to us and they think there's one string holding them down. And then we'll hear their story. And we'll show them about 20 strings that are holding them down. And that revelation quite often is enough to set them free, because then they can actually do some business with God and clear it away. And it's amazing. We don't realize there's a spiritual atmosphere over each one of us. And that is our relationship with God. And everything in the kingdom is about relationship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says that's the greatest commandment. Everything is to do with relationship. And if you want to know more about the kingdom, learn about families. Learn about dad and sons, mothers and daughters. Learn about husbands and wives. Because we're a bride, as Sue said. It's all about relationship. The better you are at relationships on the horizontal level, the better relationship you'll have with God. In 1 John it says that don't say you love God if you don't love your neighbor. And so that's what John was speaking about. And as Christians, we should be the most amazing at relationships and be really good at them. I wasn't very good at relationships. In my family, we never spoke about anything. We never revealed ourselves. We hid ourselves away. And my mum is now 90. I still don't know who she is. I've got no clue. Occasionally, things will slip out. My sister may tell me some things because she's 3 to 4 years older. And she lives with mum and she finds out things occasionally as well. But I don't really know my mum because she's never revealed herself to me. She's hidden herself away because she believes it's too shameful to tell people about the real her. Isn't that sad? And you know, I pray that when I go to see her, I'll have more opportunities to encourage her to reveal herself and to be the real her, even at 90. And that's the journey of freedom. So I asked the Lord, Lord, what is the ultimate of why we need to be free? And I felt him, the Holy Spirit, guiding me, because the Holy Spirit is our guide. And so I just felt him say, it's because of relationships. You cannot have relationships if you're not free. And the ultimate reason to be free is so that you can totally love God. That is why. So that you can totally fall in love with him. I couldn't fall in love with anybody. I was so bound up with fear, I was frightened to speak to anybody about anything. How could I have relationships with people? How could I love people when I was stepping back? If it had been a gold medal for withdrawal, like in the Olympics, you get gold medals, I would have got a gold medal. I could go into a room and withdraw from any authority figure without even realizing it. I could go in a room and withdraw to another room without even realizing it. I didn't realize that I was damaging relationships. And listening to your grandchildren is really powerful to understand where you're at with relationships. So if they're calling you grumpy granddad, take notice, because it could be true. Or angry granddad, it could be true. So that's what they've said about me on occasions, you know, and I have to bring that to the Lord, because that's sad, isn't it? I love my 8 grandchildren. I wouldn't not have one of them, and they're very precious to me. But I don't want to damage them. And a loud voice from granddad, a loud, gruff voice from granddad, can damage a young child's spirit. Okay, so freedom, the ultimate reason to be free is so that we can fall in love with Jesus. And all these things that hold us back are actually idols in our lives. Fear is an idol. Anything that is above our relationship with God is an idol. And so these are really serious matters that we need to deal with so that we can actually go on the journey of freedom. And so I'm on that journey. I'm not perfect, but I'm further along than I used to be. Praise God. But with my relationship with my wife, she tells me where I'm at. And if I listen to her, I get some clues, you know. So that's good as well. And so relationship is where it is at in the kingdom of God. Relationship is what it's going to be about when we get to heaven even more. And so how can I get relationship into my life if I haven't got it? And so that's where we get freedom from. So let's have a look at the word. Let's look at John 8. This is an amazing passage. Time's running on. And John 8:31, amazing passage. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him. Not the unbelievers. These are the believers. These are the believers. So take note. If, this is Jesus' words, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. It's really sad today because we have many young people come to us and we'll ask them, how do you get on with reading the Bible? Well, I don't do it. And that is really sad. If you abide in my word, Jesus says. If you, don't say live, read my word. No, abide in my word. Completely different. That means meditation. Reading the Bible is not good enough. James says, if you read my word, it's like looking in a mirror. You go away and forget what you look like. Meditation turns the seeds of God's word into flourishing harvest in your life. Nothing else will. Revelation by the Holy Spirit of the Word of God brings freedom, brings revelation. And so I really encourage you, as Sue said, to spend time with God, meditating on his word, and speaking to the Holy Spirit, and hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say to apply that word to you personally. Okay, we could stop there, really, couldn't we? That's just amazing, isn't it? Okay. And then he says, and you shall know the truth. So as we abide in the word, we know the truth. So I knew nothing of the truth when I first became a Christian. I didn't know the Bible. How could I know the truth? My parents had never spoken to me about anything. They'd not got me ready for life. I didn't have a clue about life, hardly. I could play football and I could swill beer. That was about it, and I could get angry. That was about, you know, where I was at. I could run fast, and I was very sporty. So that was about it. Relationships, not a hope, really. Okay. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then these believers said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Wow. How can you say you will be made free? So this, Jesus has hit the nail on the head here. This is the number one ungodly belief most Christians have after a time is, I'm okay. I'm okay. They were okay. We're Abraham's descendants. We're okay. Everything's okay. Until they get in their family and they're grumpy to their grandchildren. They can't stand their parents. They're dishonoring them. And their brothers and sisters are completely distant from them. And everything's okay. It's not okay. That is not what the kingdom of God is about. It's about relationship. And, oh, I don't go to church anymore because I can't stand the people in the church. A couple of them hurt me. So I don't go there anymore. And so we isolate ourselves. We put walls up inside of us, and they need to come down. We make decisions about our life. I'm not going to let anyone hurt me. And so, yes, so what did Jesus say when they said that? I say to you, most assuredly, verily, verily, I'm telling you the truth. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And so when we don't do things God's way, when we make the wrong choices, like I did as a young man, I kept making wrong choices all the time, then we're bound up by those things, according to Jesus. And we've got those strings tying us down. Okay. And he says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that is not... So you're made free here through the power of a cross. But if you remain here, you'll still be in bondage. These were believers in Jesus. Okay, some of the very first believers in Jesus. And so it's a journey. And do you remember on my last talk, I talked about what is inside of us, and when it comes out, we can see what we're really like. And so it's taking note of that. I'm not going to squirt anybody this time. Okay. Well, unless anyone wants to be squirted. I'm very happy to, because it's good fun. So, okay. How can I know if I'm truly free? And what areas of my life aren't free? So until we see ourselves as we truly are in the light of Jesus, we're not going to get free because we think we're okay like these guys. And so the first one is, Jesus shows us, avoid deception. Hear what people are saying about you. Listen to what they say about you. Take note of it because it's probably true. And... So grumpy granddads, beware. Your grandchildren will not let you go away with it these days. Okay. Spend time with Jesus and his word. That reveals to us who we are. It's like a mirror. And the more we meditate on it, the more we will see ourselves as we are over here. And not, we can rejoice in what we are here. But Jesus loves us too much to let us stay here. He wants us to move across. Does that make sense? Okay. And allow the job of the Holy Spirit, one of his key things is to convict us of sin, convict us of our shortcomings, tell us where we're going wrong. He's our guide and our teacher. We're going to be looking at the power of the Holy Spirit in the autumn with gifts and miracles. But actually, most of the Spirit's work is hidden away as the comforter, hidden away as the guide and the teacher when you're on your own. And we need to recognize that, the two aspects of the Holy Spirit. So allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you of your shortcomings. And we need to make a decision that we want to go on this journey, because the battle to get free is not easy. The battle to get free is not easy. And we can think we're okay where we are, but the Holy Spirit loves us too much to allow us to stay here. He wants us to move across. And there's a battle to get free, and there's a battle to stay free. And we can't win that battle on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord Jesus. And as you do it on your own, you'll fail, and you'll fail, and you'll fail. And then you'll call out to the Lord, and he will save you. And he will bring it in. Okay. We can look at how we're doing with renewing our mind. So we look at relationships. How are we doing with them? We listen to the Holy Spirit. We spend time in the Word. We don't allow ourselves to stay in deception. If you think you're totally out of deception, you're deceived. Not one of us is totally out of deception. I'm not. I don't truly know who I am at the present time. It's only as I gain more freedom, I realize basically what a scumbag I was in the past. And hopefully I'm not going to remain like that in relationships and how I'm going to move forward. And it's difficult. If it was easy, we'd all pass with flying colors, but we don't. Okay, sorry I'm being a bit blunt here, but I want you to catch the vision of freedom. And when we see ourselves as we truly are, and when we look at the cross and see what Jesus did for us, he didn't do that for nothing. He didn't live that sinless life for nothing. And we think he only did stuff at the cross, but actually his whole life was sinless. So when we're over here, we have the gift of his holiness. If he hadn't lived that sinless life on the earth, we couldn't have that gift now. But we've got it. We've got that gift here by faith. But he wants us to move across. Okay. So how are we doing renewing our minds? Romans 12:2. Romans 12:1 tells us, present your body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:2 tells us which part of a body. Let your mind be transformed. And so if we're not working on transforming our mind, we're in deception. We need this. Jesus is the Word of God. Revelation says it's a mystery, but he's the Word of God. He is actually the embodiment of the Word of God. And so the Word of God became flesh and came down. Now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and probably one of his key prayers is, let the Word become flesh in them. Let the Word become flesh in them. And okay. And so when we're in relationships, we can see how we're reacting. Are we reacting out of those ungodly beliefs, or are we acting in a godly way? So when we have conflict with people, when we have conflict with our spouse, children, grandchildren, when we say words like, I can't stand them, you know, they're too loud and noisy for me, then, you know, we need to ask the Holy Spirit what's going on. We're also oppressed by generational sin. It's not just us, The stuff from our family comes upon us. Everybody thinks their family is normal until they get married and find out their wife's family is completely different. And thankfully, my wife's family was a lot better than mine, for which I'm very grateful. And so this generational stuff comes upon us. Cultural stuff comes upon us. We live in England. We think we're the best nation. I've got news for you. Every other nation thinks they're the best nation. God knows something different. He knows that his kingdom is the best kingdom, and all the other kingdoms, he says they're like drops in a bucket. You know, you just throw the bucket drops out, don't you? And so we need to move across in our culture into God's kingdom. I remember when I was in Norway, they were saying which country people came from. And I said, I come from the kingdom of God. I'm in God's kingdom. I'm not English anymore. I was born in England, but I was reborn into the kingdom of God. And I'm proud to be in the kingdom of God. And so I am in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to continue in the kingdom of God for all eternity. Praise God. And so I encourage you to look at your culture and the negative effects of your culture and move across. And the last thing is to start to get authority in your life. When I was this fearful little 18-year-old, I had no authority. I could hardly speak, and I couldn't speak to authority figures. I kept well away from them. They would do me down. I couldn't speak to girls. They were frightening. And in fact, I didn't hardly speak to anybody, to be honest. I just kept myself to myself. But as we get more freedom, we get power and authority. We're able to speak. We're able to use the gifts that God gives us. We're able to move in kingdom things. And so we're able to tell the enemy to get out of our lives. And as I started to speak to the enemy and tell him to get out, I just told him to push off. Push off, enemy. I'm not listening to you anymore. If he comes into my mind, I don't allow my mind to be a playground anymore for the enemy. And if I have an argument with Sue, we're very different people, we see things differently. If we have a little bit of conflict, then I don't allow the enemy to say that Sue is my enemy. I may have, I would have in the past probably, allow those whispers to come. Sue's my enemy. She doesn't love me anymore. I'm into self-pity now. But no, we've got a disagreement about something. Sue is not my enemy. You, enemy, are my enemy. I'm not listening to you anymore. You're not coming into my mind. Push off, out with the bad. Lord, what do you want to say to me? What's your word for me right at this moment? Repent before your wife, say you're sorry, and sort out the problem. It is what God usually says to me. And as the head of the house, I have to humble myself first and ask forgiveness, which I try to do. And then sometimes that starts a whole new thing I won't go into now. And so we recognize the enemy's work in our lives. We recognize that he's got may have control of our mind in certain areas. And so that's a lifelong battle to clear the enemy out of our minds. And the last thing is to get healed up in our hearts. You know, our hearts have been hurt. My heart was hurt by my dad dying. I'd never grieved about it. My heart had been hurt by rejection in my life. My heart was hurt because I wasn't picked for the football team. You know, my pride was hurt when I was dropped from the first team for football, you know. And so these things, I didn't get that job. I didn't get promotion. All these things hurt us. That girl told me to push off. She didn't want to be my boyfriend anymore, a girlfriend. And a very wise move on her part, probably. So, okay. And so I really want to encourage you to give the Lord permission and to continue to take you on the journey, if you're on the journey. If you stop the journey, to repent and ask the Lord to start the journey again. If you've never been on the journey, to ask the Lord to take you on the journey of becoming more like Jesus, because that's what it is. And as we become more like him, we can have that peace and joy that comes from him. The world says that things will make you happy. Things will never make you happy. You may want that car. You may want that job. You may want this, that, or the other. They will not make you happy. What will give you peace and joy is righteousness. Righteousness equals peace and joy. Matthew 14, 17, is it? Says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, it's not things, but it's righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so how are we doing time-wise? Oh, 10-2, good. Hallelujah, I've got a few more minutes. Okay. So, there was another thing I wanted to say. You know, people say these are the last days. Every time someone gets healed up when we do marriage ministry, we get invited to the wedding because they say, we wouldn't be getting married if it wasn't for you guys, so you come along. Sometimes we pray for them and do other stuff. Anyway, and I was at this wedding and we were talking about the fact for dads how joyous it is, how special it is when we spend time with the bride before she goes off to meet her husband-to-be. And then the revelation came that these are the days when the Father is spending time with the bride before Jesus comes back. Isn't that amazing? These are the days. And so the revelation is in the family. It's so special when I had that time with my daughter. And I still think about it. You know, I saw her in her dress for the first time and cried. And, you know, and we had that time together. And in the car, we had time together. And then I gave her to her husband. And that's what God is doing. He's spending time with us and revealing himself as Father. And it's a journey to know God. And we start in different places. And so people come to us and we'll ask them a question. One of the first questions we ask is, if you were to think of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which one of you got the best relationship and which not so good? When I was brought up as a Christian, I would have said, oh, I love Jesus. He's my best friend. He saved me. I know all about Jesus. I knew nothing of the Holy Spirit to start with. Father God wasn't even on the radar. Now, people come to us, oh, yeah, Father God. I know loads about Father God. Unless they got father issues, then they don't. But then we say, what about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah, I know a bit about Holy Spirit. Oh, I know nothing about Jesus. And so they've got a lopsided view of God. And so freedom also comes when we have a balanced view of God, when we know who the Holy Spirit is, when we know who the Father is, when we know who Jesus is. And in fact, Jesus leads us to the Father. It was Jesus who's released the Holy Spirit. He says, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. John 14, isn't it? And it's important that the Holy Spirit comes. It's better that the Holy Spirit comes. Because Jesus had the fullness of the Holy Spirit on him, in him, the fullness of the Godhead. Now the Holy Spirit, amazingly, is in millions of people, may even be a billion people, you know? Isn't that amazing? How powerful is God that he can be in a billion people and speak to a billion people at once? And it really encourages me. Okay, so let's spend a little bit of time just asking God about freedom. Ask him, where am I in freedom? What would you like me to do? Asking God questions is really important because he answers them. We can write those questions down and you'll find he will answer it in one way or another because he's a question-answering God. And he asks us questions, so he likes it when we ask him questions. So let's just quieten ourselves down and give the Holy Spirit permission. So when we've stopped the process, or not enter the process, it's good to give God permission afresh. So if you'd like to join me in this prayer, I'd like to do that. So Heavenly Father, we just come in the name of Jesus, and we want to give you permission afresh to bring us into greater freedom. Lord, we want to give you permission to show us where we're deceived about where we are, where we're deceived in relationships, where we think we're okay. And we want you to, we give you permission to work in our lives.